Please lower your head and watch your step while boarding.
Welcome to the Attractions Podcast. You are all clear for dispatch. Have fun.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 123 of the Attractions Podcast, sponsored by Destinations with Character Travel. I'm Brittany.
And I'm Seth.
And we're here to talk to you about the latest and greatest in theme park news and more, as well as what's going on in our own lives. Seth, how have you been this last week?
I've been great. Thanks for asking. I got to make it over to Epcot and check out the International Festival of the Arts. I got to see a concert from some stars of Broadway's Aladdin and ate a whole bunch of food around the world. And it's always a good time. I think the Festival of the Arts has really turned into my favorite of the Epcot festivals. And the best part of it was sticking around at the end of the night to see the Rainbow Connection light display on Spaceship Earth that we talked about. It was even better in person.
Oh my goodness.
Brought a tear to my eye.
Oh, did you get a Figment popcorn bucket before they sold out?
No. If I did, I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you. I would have sold it on eBay and would be using the proceeds to take a vacation right now.
Honestly, good for you.
By the day I got there, there were just signs saying Figment buckets are no longer available. maybe more will magically appear. I'm sure if I was Disney, I would be making as many as I can. But, you know, slow boats from the Asian manufacturing centers, it could be the festival would be over by the time it gets here. So
yeah,
if you were lucky enough to get one or to buy a terrible drawing of one, maybe even off of eBay for charity, congratulations. Use it proudly. Display
yes.
it. Pass it on as an heirloom to your great-great-grandchildren.
Put it in like a nice frame, like mat it maybe if you got the drawing.
As I space out here, thanks for asking about me. How have you been?
This week was a bit stressful. I got my booster finally.
Yay.
I'm still like somewhat recovering. It really laid me out the day after I got it, because I got it in the evening. And I was just like really tired and had no energy and a splitting migraine that lasted all day.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, but it's cool. We're boosted now. So yay.
Yay.
But other than that, it's been pretty chill. Like I said before, things are kind of iffy around here as far as COVID. So going out and doing things is not necessarily the highest on my list.
Mm-hmm.
So just been chilling at home.
Yay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad to hear you are you have your shots all up to date.
Yes. I even got my flu shot too. So I am like fully loaded.
Rabies, heartworm.
No, well, no, I didn't get Are you implying something?
No.
I'm kidding.
I'm just being silly.
Without any further ado, let's go ahead and talk about this week's news. First up, if you are near Six Flags Fiesta, Texas, you might be familiar with their attraction Skyscreamer. It's a Starflyer style ride, and now they have new restraints that will make you feel as though you are literally Superman flying through the sky.
Since you are closer to Six Flags Fiesta, Texas than I am, I think you get to volunteer to do this one.
I'm scared.
This one is exclusive to this location for right now, but it's kind of a collaboration between the Star Flyer, and we do have one of those in Orlando, and the folks from Sky Coaster, which also we have some of those in Orlando. And basically, it is a new restraint system that's actually an old restraint system they've used for a while on the Sky Coaster, and I've actually been in this. I've done this ride down at Fun Spot, the Sky Coaster, and it's basically almost like a full body suit that they wrap you up in. It is extremely secure because it's not just a harness around your waist or around your chest, but basically a giant snuggie almost that you get in. It's almost like being wrapped up in a sleeping bag. And then these wires are attached to the back of it, cables or harnesses onto the back of it, which lets you, like you said, fly in the Superman position, completely prone. Like I said, normally this is used with the Sky Coaster, which is a giant thing that pulls you up and lets you free fall into a big swing. Now it's been adapted to attach to the Star Flyer, which is one of those classic kind of chain swing seat going around in a circle rides, except way, way, way higher in the air. So I imagine that this is going to give you a really good view. And if you do happen to throw up while you're in that position, you should hopefully should not get much of it on you. It'll just go straight down. So that's a plus. That's a plus.
Yeah. Just don't stand directly underneath.
No. I would give. I think it actually, you know, with the Sky Coaster, it looks a little intimidating the way you're all, you know, like I said, mummy wrapped up into it, but it does make you feel really secure. And I actually once I got over the initial drop when I did the Sky Coaster, it was a surprisingly liberating experience. You just sort of kind of feel flying through the air like a bird. And I imagine this will feel very similar.
Yes. So for now, this is only at Six Flags Fiesta Texas, but we did ask if it was going to come to the Star Flyer in Orlando, and there are currently no plans. But
well, I still have a free certificate for a ride on the Star Flyer. It's good for another year or so. So hopefully they will add it maybe eventually, and you can come down and I can use that certificate to strap you in, and you can let me know how it is.
Oh, great. Well, it doesn't hurt to dream, I guess. But over at Dollywood, the Dreammore Resort and Spa is celebrating the start of 2022 with a new offering called the Winter Music Series.
Yeah, this is Dollywood, the resort hotel near the Dollywood Park. So you don't need park admission, and you also don't need to be staying at the hotel. They do have tickets available for both on-site guests and people who just want to come in and see the shows. And they are intimate concerts from a wide variety of country music acts that I have personally never heard of because I don't listen to country music. But some of them sound really interesting. The Black Opry Review is they are coming in January 20th through the 22nd, which means today as we are recording this tonight, they are going to be performing. And that's some Black artists from the worlds of folk, country, and Americana. And then you've got some classic and also current musical acts coming up. The one that I thought was most interesting was in February 10th through 12th, they're going to have Seals and Crofts 2. If you're around in the 70s, you might remember Seals and Crofts. Well, this is the cousin and the daughter of the original Seals and Crofts, who are doing some songs from the more famous Seals and Crofts.
I have not heard of any of these bands.
A little before your time.
Yeah, a little before my time. But I think something that I've always kind of associated in my brain with Dollywood is country music and folk music. So this feels like a great fit and the kind of unique offering if you're visiting the park just for like the rides or perhaps, I don't think Splash Country is open right now, but...
probably a little chilly for that.
a little too cold.
There's a lot of... tourist attractions in the Pigeon Forge area, and even if you're not staying at the hotel, I believe tickets run only about $20 for people who aren't staying at the hotel, and if you are staying at the hotel, there's a discount. So check that out on Dollywood Dreammore Resort and Spa's website for more information.
Yes, if you are a football fan, you'll be excited to hear that Super Bowl coverage is happening at Disneyland this year.
Yeah. Starting on, I believe, February 9th?
13th. February 9th through the 13th.
The 13th. Keep an eye out because there will be ESPN personalities shooting segments that will be used during the big game. around the resort, Downtown Disney and DCA.
And they will have sections of the park where you can actually watch these happen. Mm-hmm. But some of the segments being shot will be for postseason NFL Countdown, NFL Live, Sports Center, NFL Matchup, and ESPN Deporte. I hope I said that right. I don't watch football. And then they'll have a fan experience located between Tortilla Joe's and Splitsville in Downtown Disney.
Yeah, they did those fan experiences, I remember, in years past at Wide World of Sports here in Walt Disney World. And they're typically some kind of interactive games that you can get into, and some photo ops and you know, other chances to feel like you're participating in the big game without hopefully getting a concussion.
Let's hope. We have the specific times for when they plan on shooting on our website. They're kind of varying across the board, except for Sunday. That's pretty clear when they're shooting actual Super Bowl Sunday.
This is interesting from a touring perspective, because traditionally Super Bowl Sunday was often a really good day to visit Disneyland because, you know, people wouldn't be at the park. People would be staying home. But, you know, if doing something like this, one, if it closes down sections of the park so that they can do filming, or creates congestion because people want to watch the filming, that might counteract long-standing tradition of Super Bowl Sunday being a good day to visit Disneyland. We'll see what happens.
I would be interested to see how that works. I can't really tell where they're going to film, per se. There is like a specific location in the park.
Yeah, it looks like a lot of it is going to be happening around Paradise Bay in Disney California Adventure. It looks like the Incredicoaster might be a backdrop for a lot of these shots.
Yeah. So if you're interested, check that out. Could be fun. At Magic Kingdom, we finally have word on the new themed strollers that have rolled out this past week. Which is great if you are a child, not so great if you are me.
Well, now at least when you get clipped in the ankles by an aggressive stroller, it will be a colorful Mickey-themed stroller that will be bruising you. They're red and yellow, Mickey's signature colors. They've got a canopy that has on the side of it a Mickey Mouse graphic. And they've also added some minor upgrades to these. The best one, I think, is the drain holes. They've finally punched down in the footrest so that you will not have to tip these over to get the rain out of them every time there's a downpour. They've added an extra stability bar up on the canopy. So a few little tweaks and improvements, and they still cost the same price. At least for now.
Yes. These are available at mobility rental locations across Walt Disney World Resort. They just rolled out at Magic Kingdom first. And that also includes Disney Springs. So if you're looking to add a little extra magic, I know the previous blue and like cream tan versions were not super magical or themed. So this just adds that little extra touch.
I can only hope that this inspires Universal to bring back the Jurassic Park Jeep themed strollers that have way back in the day. Those were the best.
Could you imagine like an onion carriage themed stroller for Shrek?
Yeah, well, not anymore. No, I can't imagine that now. But I can imagine a giant banana themed after the Minions.
Okay, fine. Or maybe the big fluffy thing. The unicorn.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
We have good ideas. Disney has announced more restaurant reopening dates, including three that some fans might have been sorely missing.
Yeah. A lot of the mid-range and quick service Disney restaurants came back, but now we're finally seeing some of the signature restaurants, high-end restaurants in the hotels, three in particular: Flying Fish, which is over the boardwalk. That's long been one of the resort's best seafood restaurants. The Turf Club, that is over at Saratoga. And to be honest, that's one that you probably have not heard of or eaten at unless you've got DVC points over at Saratoga. You know, kind of flies under the radar. The biggest news for me is that Chico, which is the signature restaurant at Animal Kingdom Lodge and a very well-respected, highly awarded restaurant is finally returning. And that, you know, was both one of the more expensive hotel restaurants at Disney and also had one of the more exotic menus with a lot of spices from Africa. And so the idea that for that to be coming back has got to show some good recovery in the part of the market that's interested in those elevated experiences at Walt Disney World.
Yeah. Flying Fish will reopen to guests on January 27th, with the Turf Club Bar and Grill opening on February 3rd, and then Chico will reopen on February 17th.
Mm-hmm. Now, the fine print in this announcement is that they're also resuming some services that, at restaurants that had been open, but that had limited offerings. And to me, the big one here is the Yacht and Beach Club, the Cape May Cafe. That did reopen, but it didn't have its buffet. It was like a family style where they would just bring you out a big plate that was refillable. But now it looks like they are going to go back to the buffet style. I don't expect them to include the crab legs on the buffet anymore.
Those,
you know, the crab legs were for a lot of people the best reason to visit Cape May Cafe. And now you're paying extra by the pound instead of having those be all you can eat. But it looks like the rest of the seafood boil items, the clams and the mussels and shrimp, are going to be back to buffet style. And I don't know how you feel about this. Losing self-service buffets was, to me, one of the unexpected upsides of the pandemic. I remember when I went to Beer Garden at Germany in Epcot right after they reopened, and it was family style. And it was so nice not having to go and line up and, you know, pick stuff off of the buffet that's just been sitting there, to have it, you know, a big platter just brought out straight for us and be able to just ask for what we wanted. I thought it was a huge improvement in service. I know in Vegas, a lot of the upscale buffets are, you know, converting to a style where you kind of walk along and you tell them what you want, but then they serve you. I'm not sure I ever want to go back to the big communal serving bowl and everyone, you know, picking from the same utensils. I'm okay with that kind of buffet not coming back.
Yeah, I've never really loved buffets. I guess I tolerated it because it was the only option, but
I like the variety. I like the value, you know, yeah. But it's the hygienic
yeah.
side of it, which was always kind of sketchy before the pandemic. And now we're hyper aware of it.
Yeah. I think probably my best buffet experience was at the Granny's restaurant at Dollywood, where they do ask you what you want and then they put it on your plate and they
right.
hand it back to right. you. But
was it
I
an
really,
authentic grandmother who did that for you?
It was an elderly lady and she was very nice.
I hope she was wearing
perhaps.
A shawl and reading glasses.
I think she did have glasses on.
Good.
But I really like the family style kind of buffet where they bring you just like loads of food and you mm-hmm. can kind of load your food, your plate up yourself. And it was always fresh. And like you said, sometimes when you go up to that buffet line, you're like, oh, that's been sitting here for a little bit.
Right.
Maybe I should come back when they've, you know, changed out the tray yes. or whatever.
Right. And especially like, you know, the tongs or whatever are sitting there. And you know that the person who just used those tongs did not wash their hands after their
yep.
first plate of food. So, yeah.
Yeah. I wish that we could just keep family style. Why do we have to yeah. bring buffets back?
Well, if you are a fan of sharing utensils with strangers, Cape May has got you covered. That is coming back, it looks like, on February 15th. Full service for buffet service for breakfast and dinner.
All right. Some big news for fans of Toy Story Land. I feel like we've been waiting for an update on this for literal years. Two new playsets are set to arrive at Toy Story Land at Disney's Hollywood Studios this year, that being Roundup Rodeo Barbecue and Jessie's Trading Post.
Yes, playsets being in quotation marks. These are not new toys that you're going to buy. These is a new restaurant and a new store that is a little expansion to the Toy Story Land at Disney's Hollywood Studios in Walt Disney World. We've known about the restaurant for a while. They've had construction walls up. And like the name says, expect barbecue. But I don't know if we'd heard about Jessie's Trading Post before. You know, way back in the early days of the concept for this land, there was supposed to be an Al's Toy Barn, which was going to be the main retail location. It ended up opening without any real retail locations other than some gift carts. So it looks like this will be ground central if you want to buy some Toy Story toys.
Yes, I hope the theming is really... Mm-hmm. something, because I was so excited to see the Western Town in the original concept art, and then they released the this is what we're opening, and it was like very excited for this. I believe Roundup Rodeo Barbecue was announced back in 2019.
Okay, so we have been waiting for literal years for this.
Before
the pandemic it was moving forward, and then it kind of went radio silent for a while. So at least we have confirmation that it is not a dead project. It is still happening.
Though it is kind of a bummer that they still show the same concept art. I haven't looked at the previous concept art as closely.
I'm sure you could play Where's Waldo comparing them. But it's pretty similar.
Yeah.
You know? We see a lot of things that look like cardboard cutouts as opposed to dimensional figures.
Yeah, or like game board pieces. They also tease that we will see Pixar characters as we've never seen them before.
No.
So I wonder what that means. Maybe we'll see Wall-E as like a game board piece or something.
Maybe. I don't know. We've seen them as walk-around characters. We've seen them as static statues. We've seen them as animatronics with creepy rear projected faces. I don't know what's left.
A live face character walk around.
Oh, that would be really creepy.
Disney on Ice does it.
That's true.
But keep an eye out. More details on this will be released later on in the year. We don't have an opening window for it just yet, though they did say it will open sometime this year. And in our last bit of news before getting to the main attraction, this past week and the week before have been full of SeaWorld Parks and Resorts announcing opening dates for coasters that have just been floating in the ether for the entire pandemic. And now we've got another one, this time from SeaWorld San Diego.
You would almost think that they had like several years worth of roller coasters mostly built and sitting there waiting to open. the floodgates of SeaWorld coaster opening dates have been released. And for those of us on the East Coast who have rides like Shikra at Busch Gardens, this might not be too exciting. But out on the West Coast, dive coasters are a relative rarity. And this one is going to be the tallest and fastest in California. It's a B&M dive coaster, and it's blue. I don't know what else to say about
very astute.
I mean, if you've been on one of these B&M dive coasters, you know, they've got a couple of these straight drops straight down. You get a couple loops around and then you're back at the station. They're pretty much one trick ponies, but it's a pretty good trick.
This will open on March 12th, but there will be a pass member exclusive ride preview, as with all of the other parks and their coasters. So you can check that out if that applies to you. I'm excited, but that first drop though, that's the one that's always like you hang over the edge and I'm like,
yes.
I regret getting on this.
Yeah, the best and worst part of all those B&M drop coasters dive coasters is when you approach the first drop and it very, very slowly cranks you out over the edge and then holds you there. And that those 2 or 3 seconds pause before you're released, definitely the highlight or low light, depending on your point of view. And this one, you're going to be 153 feet up in the air for that moment. So that's a pretty good size drop.
I'm facing down at a 45 degree angle too. So yep. You are just like looking at the ground.
Plus it's floorless. So you don't even have anything to brace your feet against.
Great. You're really selling this, Seth. To learn more, you can head over to our website, check out the article. And if you're a past member and you get to do it early, let us know how it is. Keep us updated. And before we get to this week's main attraction, let's get a quick word from our sponsors at Destinations with Character Travel.
Here at Destinations with Character Travel, we offer the best experience with your travels. Need to visit the thrilling Disneyland Resort, Walt Disney World? Maybe lounge about on a Disney cruise or any other major cruise line? No problem. So if you're looking for a stress and hassle-free vacation, visit us at www.destinationswithcharacter.com. Contact us today and let us plan a magical vacation for you and your family.
Bringing you your top news story of the week. Whether from your backyard or from around the world, it's time for the main attraction!
And this week's main attraction, of course, is Iron Gwazi.
Finally, finally, we thought the day might never come, but we have an opening date for Iron Gwazi, which, of course, is Busch Gardens Tampa's conversion of the notorious old wooden coaster Gwazi into an RMC steel hybrid. And the POV video is out. We posted that on our YouTube. Go check that out. I guess it's not a POV, it's an off-ride, but it shows testing and it shows just how intense this coaster is. And on March 11th, it looks like everyone is going to get a chance to find out for themselves.
But if you're a pass member, you can ride starting February 11th.
Oh, whole month early. I believe they had a program late last year where if you visited with an annual pass a certain number of times, you'd get priority for riding this new attraction. And I do think that those emails, I know those emails were going out for SeaWorld for Icebreaker. So if you're a Busch annual pass holder, make sure you check your email for that information.
Because that is a valuable ticket right there. I mean, the hype around this coaster is absolutely
bananas. It's been building for so many years. This was... Gwazi has gone through such a history over the years where built with big hype years ago. And, a lot of people really loved it at first, but it quickly became very painful. They tried new trains over the years. They tried all sorts of things. But this is definitely the most radical way they could have reinvented it. Basically, the wooden structure is there underneath and is kind of used as a base. But now you've got these RMC tracks, these twisted purple tracks that look incredibly steep, incredibly like some of these maneuvers. It's hard to imagine what it's going to feel like going through some of these inversions. And it was already a really tall coaster for a wooden coaster, but now it's going to seriously change the skyline of Busch. It already has.
Yeah. I mean, just look at this maneuver right here. This is so tight. Like, yeah. You have maybe what, 6 feet between your head and the beams below you in that loop.
Now, I personally have never done one of these Rocky Mountain construction, hybrid coasters. Have you? I've been assured that they are incredibly smooth, but I still have post-traumatic stress from the last time I was on Gwazi and had all the teeth rattled out of my head. So if they can really turn one of the roughest coasters I've ever been onto into supposedly something as smooth as glass, That is a miracle I want to experience firsthand.
Okay, I just checked because I have been on one.
Okay.
Lightning Rod at Dollywood.
Oh, okay. And?
It was extremely fast, very intense. I recall Josh calling me out because I had like streams of drool crusted on my face.
Well, that's how you know it's a good ride.
It was so fun and so intense. It was another one of those like hybrid wooden coasters, but my God, it's intense. So if Gwazi is anything like Lightning Rod now, it's going to be one heck of a ride for sure.
Yeah. Well, I think Gwazi is a lot larger, a lot taller, a lot faster. I mean, we're looking at a 97 degree drop, 76 miles an hour, over 4,000 feet of track. That's a big ride.
Yeah.
That's a big ride.
Yeah, Lightning Rod is kind of built into the mountains of Dollywood, and this one is just its own mountain, I think. Yeah.
But keep in mind, height restriction is still only 48 inches, so bring the kids.
Traumatize the kids. I'm just kidding. They'll probably love it more than we adults will, because we'll need chiropractics after. But super excited.
Hashtag worth it.
Hashtag worth it. I can't wait to see Clint from Thrill Geek's thoughts on this, because he has been the most vocal person on my Twitter timeline about this coaster.
Oh, so yeah. Obsessed.
Very excited. But that is everything that we had to share with you this week. I know it's a short one, but
quality, I feel like, over quantity. Quality over quantity. I feel like we packed a lot of love into this
edition. Yeah, we did. And before we go, I do have a listener thank you to share. So in case you do not know, Attractions Magazine has a 4-tier subscription plan. And if you choose Club or VIP when you sign up, the week after you subscribe, you get a shout out from us here on the podcast. So this week we are thanking Tia Sams. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
For supporting us. And before Seth does his bit, I have some news of my own to share. I don't really know how to lead into it, so I'm just going to come out and say that this is my last episode as your host on the Attractions Podcast. I'm sorry. It has been so much fun getting to work with Banks and then Seth in the various iterations of this podcast. It's been so much fun. I genuinely look forward to it every week, and I will miss it when I'm gone.
Well, before I thank our sponsor again, I just gotta thank you for welcoming me onto the podcast. I know I haven't been around that long, but you have really, you know, put me at ease and made this a lot of fun to do every week. And the podcast will go on. We will be announcing a new co-host in the near future. But until then, I just want to thank you, because it's been so much fun talking with you every week, and I'm gonna miss you a lot. We're gonna have to Zoom or something on a regular basis,
just
to stay in touch. But I'm proud of you. You are going on to exciting things, and just remember, you are always welcome. Anytime that you miss the world of attractions and you want to come back and be a guest and give us your opinion, you are always welcome.
I at least hope for an invitation to the Galactic Star Cruiser Breakdown podcast.
I can guarantee you will definitely get an invite, as long as we can find someone who actually gets to go on the Galactic Star Cruiser to talk to. I do have a friend who I know is going, so maybe I can rope him into it.
Well, there you go.
But it's been so much fun, and if nothing else, when we hit our 200th episode, you have to come back, like Banks did for our 100th.
Yes, be happy to.
All right, before I get teary, I just want to thank Destinations with Character Travel once again for supporting us every week. And I want to thank all of you for supporting us by heading on over to Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts, giving us a 5-star rating and leaving us a review. And finally, this is going to be a little awkward. I'm supposed to ask where They can find folks can find us on the internet. And as always, you can find me at theunofficialguides.com. You can find me on Twitter at the UG series or at the unofficial guides on Instagram. But Brittany, where can we find you?
You can find me at Brittany Tuttle. That's BrittannyTuttle. Yes, it's spelled funny on Twitter and Instagram. And you can follow Attractions at attractionsmagazine.com, at Attractions on Twitter, at Attractions Magazine on Instagram, youtube.com/attractionsmagazine, and at Attractions on TikTok.
All right, everyone, you heard that. This is your last chance to follow Brittany on Twitter, even though her name is spelled funny. Which, yes. For the record, I have never thought there was anything funny about the spelling of your name. I think all Brittany's with a Y or an I are perfectly valid. And you don't need to apologize for the spelling of your name ever again.
Fine. I'm writing that down. Seth said I don't have to apologize for my name spelling anymore. And until next time, for the last time, at least for me, I hope you guys stay safe. Try something new, but most importantly, have fun.
Bye.